Hello, and welcome to this episode of HBCU. I'm your host, Dee Brown, CEO. Joining me on the show today is Brian Adams. Brian is a graduate of Alcorn State University. Brian, welcome to the program. Glad to have you, man.
I greatly appreciate it. Nice to be on.
Yeah, look, I want to jump right into the show. I know we're going to have a lot of ground to cover with you. But tell me, how did you become interested in Alcorn State University?
My mom attended Alcorn State University, and then just the history of the school, the history of the basketball program, the coach that recruited me, and just seeing Steve McNair do his thing out there on the football field, during his heyday at Alcorn State University, kind of piqued my interest. Of wanting to attend school there, as a basketball player, even though he played football,
right.
I just wanted to, if I could, do the same things and bring that type of interest, back to the basketball program.
So I know you were a phenomenal basketball player. So just talk a little bit about your high school playing career and how you ended up taking your talent to Alcorn.
I came in I attended Piney Woods Country Life School, a historically all black boarding school located in Mississippi, where we lived on campus. Very educated school, very strict. And I attended there because I needed the discipline with my academics. I knew I could play basketball, but I had to be able to put basketball and my academics together, and it just worked out perfect for me and my situation. Now, I didn't know that I would, end up being a legendary basketball player per se, but I put in the work, but I just made sure that I got my academics in order, and then my career just started to flourish. Just being recruited by so many schools, winning 3 state championships in a row, winning Player of the Year, in the state of Mississippi, Metro Player of the Year in the metro area, when it was hard to do, So that, that just really helped my situation. And then the coach that recruited me to Alcorn State University, he never felt like he couldn't get me. He was never intimidated by all the other schools that were recruiting me.
So, what was that atmosphere like? Because obviously being a top rated player coming out of Pinewood, it was kind of probably a preconceived notion that you would have gone to one of the larger programs, right? So
yeah.
What was the reaction or the atmosphere like when you decided to go to Alcorn State?
Man, when I made that decision to go to Alcorn, it was some wiles and it was some repercussions behind it and things of that nature, because my high school coach, he left the summer going into my senior year. He got a job at the University of Southern Miss. So everybody, just thought that I was going to follow him to Southern Miss. But, Alcorn, man, like I said, the coach came in and he was just authentic about the whole recruiting process and, just wanted to have me at Alcorn. I just felt like Alcorn was like Piney Woods to me, like a small school, small setting. I just didn't see myself going to school where it was 10, 20, 30,000 students. And my high school only had 250 students, man. So I just wanted to fit in and then just, be able to show my talents. Because if you're really good enough, they're going to find you regardless.
Right, right. So talk to me about your freshman year at Alcorn, how you balanced athletics and academics, and what were some of your notable achievements?
Well, first thing, I was an honor student my freshman year at Alcorn. I think I had like probably 3.3 grade point average. So adjusting to college wasn't hard at all because, like I say, coming from high school, we lived on campus. So once I got into college, it was, you know, it was a piece of cake. Now, you know, now I got to, I have to adjust on the court now. I'm coming in as a hotshot freshman, one of the top players in the country. So now I have to prove myself all over again. But I was definitely prepared for it because, you know, I had put in the work. It wasn't easy, but, you know, I had a really great freshman year. Averaged close to 12 points a game. I was the freshman of the year in the conference. So, and I also wanted to show the people, like, hey, man, y'all got a top recruit on this campus, and this is what it's like to have a top recruit on the campus. And I just love, enjoy being there, playing in front of 8,000-10,000 people. You know, I didn't play in front of an empty gym.
So I know you mentioned Steve McNair and how watching him help influence your decision to go to Alcorn. But once you got there and you began to, you know, perform, how did his legacy impact you?
Oh, man, everlasting legacy, because now, you know, when you see someone like him come from Alcorn, then you see a player like myself, you know, sign with a HBCU, go to Alcorn. Now it sets you up for the future of building a program. Okay, we have Brian Adams here. We have other players here like Carl Jones and Ruben Steph and things of that nature. Let's continue to add more pieces and build a program. And that's exactly what we did, you know. And I think what we did was kind of legendary down there.
So share with the viewers your achievements on the court.
Well, you know, like I said, I was freshman of the year at Alcorn. Was able to be invited to the Michael Jordan basketball camp twice while I was at Alcorn. We helped bring the program back from the dead because, man, before I got there, man, the program was in the dumps. And, you know, we come back, we go 23-7 my junior year. We go to the NCAA tournament, nearly knocked off Stanford. We had one of the longest winning streaks in the country at like 42 games, which was like number three in the country behind Michigan State. So, man, it was just fun times. Like, there's some students that went to school during that time, never saw a home loss at that school. Right. Imagine being in school 4 years and you never seen us lose.
Right.
That's crazy.
Right.
That's
amazing.
That's crazy. Yeah. So that was, you know, a lot of students talk about that, you know, former students, when I talk to them now, I'm like, man, y'all had that thing rocking down there. So, you know, and like I said, you know, just being invited to Michael Jordan basketball camp coming from an HBCU. I mean, it wasn't shocking to me because I had already seen those guys before in high school and played against them. And, you know, some of them really didn't know who I was. And they was like, dang, man, what school you go to? I was like, I go to Alcorn. It's like, man, for real? They was like, where you was at first? I was like, I always been at Alcorn, you know. So I guess they didn't think that a player, you know, my caliber should be at HBCU and things of that nature. But that's not true, you know.
What was it like at the Michael Jordan basketball camps? What was that experience like?
Man, it was crazy, you know, because, you know, where I'm from, I never saw NBA players growing up. And, you know, you get a chance to get invited to your favorite player camp. I wore number 23. I wore shoes. You know, I try to walk and talk like him and do all Michael Jordan things. I just think Kobe Bryant beat me to it. So, you know, but just getting that invitation, man. Being around him, he was a really great guy to be around. To say that you spend 8 days of your life in two summers with the greatest player to ever live, man, it was unbelievable. And I was there the 2 years that he beat Utah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So take me back to the yard during your Alcorn days. Who were some of the most influential people in your lives during that time?
Definitely my parents. You know, I had both of my parents in my life, my mom and dad. I had my godparents from my hometown, James and Lily Belton. They were definitely influential in my decision to attend Piney Woods as well as Alcorn State University because they were educated school teachers who also helped educate me on the whole, you know, HBCU you know, the history of the schools and the schools that, you know, they were built for us and things of that nature. And then also my high school coach, you know, even though, you know, my coach took a job, you know, right before my senior year, man, he has been one of my biggest influences. And we talk at least two or three times a week to this day, you know. So those were definitely my biggest influences while I was in college.
So take me to the time that you were on the yard. What made Alcorn just a really special institution, in your opinion?
Well, it's in the middle of nowhere. So
that's special. So
the nearest Walmart is like 25 miles, I think 25 miles to Natchez and maybe 35 to Vicksburg. So you had to become family, you know, right, because, you know, it was nothing to do, you know, and just being around people who are your friends to this day, you know, it was just so genuine and authentic. And, you know, I always try to treat people right. Never, you know, had my head in the clouds and, you know, thought I was better than anyone. And I just never changed, you know, as far as, you know, how I act towards people and things of that nature. And, man, it was special just, you know, just meeting people that, you know, that you're friends with to this day.
What about coaching staff, faculty? Were there any individuals that were instrumental in your success there?
Oh, man, it was a lot of people, you know. Like I say, you're in a small setting. The teachers give you more attention. You know, they didn't give me anything, you know, but they know who you are, especially when you're on a small campus. You get a chance to have a relationship with your teachers and the people that work at the post office, the people that work in the cafeteria, you know, just being nice to people, you know, your coaches and being coachable and things of that nature, because, the guy that I played under, you know, he's in the NCAA Hall of Fame. He's one of the greatest coaches ever. And, you know, he led Alcorn State to the first ever win for HBCU in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, a lot of people have their hands on you at these HBCUs.
So talk to me about your next move once you left Alcorn. What was next on your path?
When I left Alcorn, I went and played professionally overseas. You know, of course, it's everybody's dream to make it to the NBA, you know, and things of that nature. But, you know, I had a few hiccups here and there. You know, I broke my foot the first day of practice my junior year. And it kind of hindered me, you know, a little bit, you know, but I was still able to have a career after college. And that's nothing that's, you know, guaranteed. And, you know, I went over in Germany. I played in Norway. I played in Portugal, you know, so I, you know, had a great time. And, you know, once I finished my career, you know, I was at peace with, you know, how it played out.
So what was it like playing basketball overseas in terms of just the competitiveness, the cultural differences, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's something you have to get used to because, you know, my first year I was in Germany. It was a little difficult my first year because my father, he was passing away. I went to Germany in August and my dad passed away in November. So I'm the only child. So I'm having to deal with that. And, you know, you go overseas, then you got to come home and, you know, come to your dad's funeral and stuff like that. So my first year was kind of tough because I always had my father in my life. You know, I always had both of my parents in my life. But, you know, I had to man up and piece things together and continue to play well and, you know, just take care of my mom, you know, the best way I could and things of that nature, too.
Yeah. So how long did you play overseas?
I played 4 years overseas. I would say my best year was in Portugal. It was like 15 points and 7 rebounds a game. I helped lead the team to the championship over there, even though we didn't win. But just playing for a championship in another country was amazing. You know, from high school to college to the pros, I played for a championship. I won a championship on every level. And, you know, that's kind of hard to do, you know.
Yeah. And so once you wrap up your professional career, what was your next move along your professional journey?
Well, I went back to Alcorn and I started coaching with Larry Smith, old school Alcorn basketball player. He's probably, he don't like when I say this, but I know I always tell him he's the greatest basketball player ever from Alcorn State. Man, he was my mentor, and he gave me my first coaching job. And he coached, he played in the NBA for 12 years, coached for like 13. He won two NBA championships with the Houston Rockets. He coached Elijah Wan, Drexler, Barkley, Kobe Bryant as well with the Lakers. And he gave me my first job as a coach, and I ended up being a player development coach. So, you know, yeah, so that's, and it has led me to this journey that I'm on now.
So talk to me about your current business operation. You run an academy. And so tell me more about it and what your mission is there.
It's a nonprofit organization, 501c3. And, you know, pretty much our mission and things is to help underprivileged kids, you know, get off the streets, you know, help them with health and wellness and just things, everyday things that you can use to survive, you know, just things that I was able to be able to get through, you know, with people helping me. So now I'm able to give back, you know, working with young ladies, working with boys, you know, a lot of these kids have gone on to play elite level college basketball. Some are now even in the pros or getting ready to be NBA draft picks.
So tell me, number one, the name of the academy, and then just talk about some of the stories where you know you have really impacted and touched some lives.
It's the Bryan Adams Basketball Academy, nonprofit 501c3. And just, you know, just being in some of these players' lives, because some of these kids, you know, they have fathers, they have mothers, some don't. But just being able to share my experiences, share my stories, help coach them through certain situations, not even just on the court, just it can be things off the court, you know, the mental preparation, physical preparation, the things that you have to deal with on and off the court, you know, and it's been very helpful. You know, I don't like to give myself credit and things of that nature when it comes to that. And but, you know, the parents, they do. The players, they do as well. So that's been very important.
And so what is your, I guess, long-term personal goal in terms of where you want to be from a legacy perspective in your philanthropic endeavors?
I know for one, just, you know, keep God first at home, you know, take care of my wife, take care of my family. And then, you know, just be the best version of me that I can possibly be and just help as many people as I can while I'm here, you know, and just reach as many young people, underprivileged kids, and, you know, just carry out the mission, just, you know, just be authentic in my everyday walk, you know, as far as my nonprofit is concerned.
Now, how do you feel Alcorn played a role in shaping you into the person you are today?
Oh, it was very vital, very vital. Without Alcorn, man, I definitely probably wouldn't be where I'm at to this day. You know, it was just being around great people while I was there, and it helped me adapt and adjust to life. Some of the things that you had to maybe go through sometimes at HBCUs, it helps you adjust and help you adapt to life. And, you know, I was just prepared for it, you know, for any situation. So I owe a lot to Alcorn, man. That's where I got my degree. You know, those people took care of Bryan Adams down there.
So, you know, obviously, HBCUs are lacking in funding and resources, et cetera. Just talk for just a minute about why you feel that it's important for alumni and even people that are in the broader community to support these important institutions?
Well, it's definitely important because those schools were created for us. And I think that's where a lot of people get it, get things twisted a little bit, you know, with HBCUs. These schools were created for us when we couldn't go attend other places. And I just think, you know, we all have to come together some kind of way and just help support, help fund the university, just all HBCUs in general, you know, because so much greatness has come out of the HBCUs, whether it's athletes, whether it's politicians, whether it's doctors, lawyers, just anything, you know, some of the greatest people in this country graduated from HBCUs.
Right. No doubt about it. Kind of tell me in terms of from your time at Alcorn, if mm-hmm. you got a young high school senior looking to further their education, why should they consider Alcorn as the college to attend?
Well, I would say, you know, hey, do your history on the university, whatever your major is going to be, you know, see if that major is there. I'm sure, you know, I'm quite sure it is. You know, it's just the history of the school and that you'd be well taken care of. And there's no difference between getting a degree at Alcorn and some of these other major universities, you know. So, you know, it's people that have all these fancy degrees from these other schools and stuff like that, man. They're having a hard time maybe, you know, getting jobs and stuff like that, you know. But it's just the connection and things that you're going to have, as we call it, with Alcornites when it's all said and done, you know. So, you know, we look out for each other for sure.
Yep. And so, you know, before Deion Sanders made his mark on HBCUs, you had guys like mm-hmm. you and Steve McNair who came before you and a lot of other great players, you know, Walter Payton, just to name a few,
right. Mm-hmm.
that actually brought attention and the spotlight to HBCUs. Mm-hmm. But what is your take, positive or negative? I'm just curious, what is your take on the impact that Coach Prime had on HBCUs during his short tenure at Jackson State University?
Man, he had an immediate impact, and I thought he put a lot of fear in, you know, in the powers that be. You know, he came to Jackson State. He did what he was supposed to do. And, you know, like he said on the 60 Minutes clip, he left when he was supposed to, you know. Yeah. So I can't say anything negative because the attention that he brought to the university probably hadn't happened since the Walter Payton days or the days of, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, bringing the top recruit in the country to Jackson State. I mean, it shared a lot of light on the university. So it's definitely, even though that's my rival school, but it's definitely no negativity whatsoever towards that because, man, what he did in that short amount of time was amazing. And right. he left it, you know, to where someone else can just walk right in yep. and do what they're supposed to do. So in that situation, that's when the alumni got to be stronger than ever. Hey, we cannot let this go. We right. got to keep pushing. We got to do what we have to do to take this thing to another level.
Right. No, I agree. And I think that even with his departure from the institution and having Shador and Shiloh and Travis Hunter and others as well, mm-hmm. but those three in particular, I think that he proved that athletes who are at HBCUs can actually go to a Power Five school and still perform yeah. on a high level. And, you know, mm-hmm. oftentimes it's this stereotype that, you know, you're only performing at that level because you are not playing against you know, very competitive teams, et cetera. And so I think they right. they kind of are helping to dispel that myth, you know, kind of one game at a time. What's your take on that?
I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, those guys are showing that they can play on that level. And, you know, to get off course a little bit, I'm a Las Vegas Raiders fan. And what we're showing is we're taking guys from those Power Five schools that can't play.
Right.
So, yeah, so I definitely understand, man. And you know, I came from that league, you know, the SWAC, and man, guys can play. If you can play, you can play.
Right.
You know, people need to stop, you know, with that myth. Oh man, the competition. Once you in college, you playing against elite competition, whether they say the low D1, mid-level, Power 5, Division 1 is Division 1.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people that all the time.
Well, Brian, we're going to have to wrap the show up, but I want to do two things. I want to thank you, number one, for joining me on this episode of HBCU and taking time out your busy schedule to be here and share your story and share the story of Alcorn. But also, I want to present you with our HBCU Lifetime Achievement Award for your continued commitment to historically black colleges and universities. You'll be receiving this in the mail. And I want to thank you so much for being with us. And to my viewers, I want to thank you for watching this episode of HBCU. I'm your host, D. Brown, CEO. And remember, without you, there's no me.